Well, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. Kathy Barnett is joining us on the mic as well for It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Mike Levin's here as well. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. We will take your calls at 610-539-TALK. Kathy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. As can be expected.
We're going to have an encouraging scripture of the day for you this morning. We were talking yesterday, of course. What happened a couple days ago, we've got some articles which we all saw coming in light of the Supreme Court ruling, which we're going to tell you about this morning. Again, that number to let your voice be heard, 610-539-TALK, because there's going to be a lot to talk about this morning. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay right there. We have a millionaire gay couple that we're going to talk about in just a moment. And if you've seen this article, then you already know about it. But before we get into that, though, Kathy, what do you think of the Supreme Court ruling? I want to get your take on this.
You know, I had an opportunity to record for my other show, Truth Exchange with Kathy Barnett, as heard on War Radio, which is the number one political talk radio on Live 365. Just want to give that plug.
There you go. Yeah, shameless plug there.
And you can find out more about us by going to truthexchange.net. You can hear our broadcasts and just kind of talk back to us, because this is one of those topics that we should be discussing. It's not something that we should just get over and move on with our lives. This is not something that we should get over and something that should just become numb and we just go on and move on about our lives. This is monumental. For all aspects, whether you're a Christian or atheist or a homosexual out on the street in Jubilee, you know, you're ignorant if you do not understand. I mean, we have always been a land of laws, but if we had any doubt as of last Friday, we now know that we are not a land of laws. We are a land of men. We are a land of political opinions and agendas. And it has nothing to do with the rule of law. So how do I feel about it? I feel as of last Friday, we became officially slaves, or at least in the mind of our legislators. Because what do we have if we do not have freedom of conscience? And you kind of alluded to the gay couple that is now suing to be married in the church. You have so many in our community, even in the church community, that are saying, well, hey, you know what? This has nothing to do with churches. They don't want to get married in the church and blah, blah, blah. Even the justices themselves, even Obama himself, even Hillary Clinton herself have said that this does have some repercussions on the church.
And Kathy, I have a legitimate beef with you. You just stole my thunder on the article. I just want to say that on the air.
I'm sorry.
No. But that's, if you've seen the article, this is from the Libertarian Republic, thelibertarianrepublic.com. But Kathy, we all saw this coming. This
yes.
is not just an issue of equality. This is not just an issue of liberty. And I'll read the headline for you. Millionaire gay couple is suing. I think it's interesting they're a millionaire gay couple, almost like they have nothing better to do
yes.
with their time. But some would say, well, this is a huge issue for them. Well, this is a spiritual issue for us all. Millionaire gay couple is suing to force a church to hold their wedding.
Yes.
And this is in the UK. So don't think that this is across the pond, but don't think
coming.
That this is, and this article, I will say this, okay? This article was in March 18th, 2014, okay? It was a year ago, but it don't think for a moment that this is not is what what is going to happen over here in our shores. They're going to try to test the waters. You're going to see lawsuit after lawsuit. This SCOTUS ruling is just going to empower and embolden. All this is about is imposing will. And right now, quite frankly, all it is a battle between good and evil. From a Christian perspective, you have Christ and laws that have governed this nation that are based on Christian principles, that are Christian laws in and of themselves, even. Do not murder, do not steal, all these different things. And now that those are going to the wayside, what's in its place? Well, anything that is, at least from a Christian perspective, anything that is not of Christ is evil. And you're seeing these being replaced. And like you said, we're not becoming a nation of laws anymore. We're becoming a nation of opinions.
Yes, and that's very dangerous, right? Because, I mean, like, that's... It it's really what our country was founded on, is the fact that we have freedom of conscience, which we also call freedom of religion. But it's the freedom of conscience of recognizing that whether you're an atheist or a Christian or whomever, but let's just say if you're a Christian, then you can communicate to God directly and God can guide you on what kind of life you want to live. But that also applies, the reason why it works so well in our country, to those who are atheists, to those who are non-believers, right? That we get to choose which way we feel is best. What is the better way for me and my family as individuals, right? But if you don't have that, now you're going all the way back. You're predating yourself back before the Magna Carta. And now we're under the king, under the monarch rule, or under the church rule, right? And they decide what is good, what is bad. That is a land of men and personal opinions and political agendas, right? But today, our country was founded on we have lived under the rule of a land of laws, not a land of, you know, a king or a queen or someone else telling us what we can do. And we all understood that. But this is monumental. And if you remember, less than 8 years ago, about 6 years ago, when the whole civil union thing came out, what they told us then was, listen, we don't want marriage. You know, we don't want to get married. We just want a civil union for contractual purposes. And we just want to be able
after lie.
We just want to be able that when our loved one is dying in the hospital, we want to be able to go in there and see them. We want to be able to handle contractual matters after death because we've committed ourselves together as individuals prior to them getting sick. And then when they get sick, the other party, from a contractual legal perspective, is no longer allowed to be a part. So they came before the American people playing on the emotional string of the silly and said, well, listen, we just want civil unions for contractual purposes. We don't want marriage. You know, no, we just want civil union. Okay. We gave in as a nation. Now today, you know, what we just saw. I mean, it's the culmination. And I often say sin does not stay small. It grows. It wants it all. It desires everything.
And make no mistake, this is sin. You know, in America, we have the privilege as Americans of being able to voice our opinion in our legislatures and being able to voice what we believe in our laws. Now, for the longest time, America has been the majority Christian population. And that has influenced our laws and how we've governed ourselves for the time. That is how we were founded, even. We were founded with that base, with that cornerstone, if you will. But we have had that privilege for years and years. And for anyone to suggest that as Americans or as Christians even, that we don't have a right to be able to voice what we think should be the laws governing our nation, because understand this, I talked about this yesterday too, sin always has consequences, and that's what this is. This isn't about liberty, this isn't about just not imposing our will. We all have a voice to be able to, and this is one thing I propose to Christians too. Where's the gospel been in politics? Where's the gospel been when we look, especially in history, we look at a William Wilberforce who fought against slavery in his day, which was completely legal, which the Bible actually speaks against. Now, a lot of you, and I've said this before, a lot of you think, oh, well, there is slavery in the Bible. It was a different kind of slavery. It was economic. Doctors, lawyers could be slaves. It was to repay a debt. Slavery that is outlawed in the Bible is what it is, quote, kidnapping of another man and forcing him into slavery. That's the kind of slavery our nation was indulging in, which England was indulging in, which William Wilberforce was a part of in Parliament and fought against for years. And he was pushing the gospel in Parliament. And I say to Christians today, why do we feel we can't do that today in our nation, especially when we know the consequences of sin and we have a voice to do so? That, I think, is the main problem today.
Yeah, you know, Al Locke, the station owner, he pulled up a really good quote out of the opinion of the Chief Justice Robert that said, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but he said that the gays are very excited about this ruling, and they should be. However, their excitement should not be based on the fact that this ruling came out of the Constitution, because it had nothing to do with the law. I mean, this it was completely a personal opinion. And even Chief Justice, I pulled it up. He said the majority's decision is an act of will, not legal judgment. The right it announces has no basis in the Constitution or this court's precedent. He said, he goes on to say that they meaning those who were in the majority, who were in the majority to legalize same-sex marriage, he says they don't even have the pretense of humility. They are openly relying on their own desire to remake society according to its own new insight into the nature of injustice.
Now, I also call shenanigans on Chief Justice Roberts there, because in the prior ruling on Obamacare, he did the exact same thing. So, of course, and we all know that shenanigans on Chief Justice Roberts there. And that's why you said it's a nation of opinions. A better word, I guess, than, you know, we can voice our opinion in our legislature. It has been a majority Christian opinion for the longest time, but now that is shifting, and we're going to see the consequences of it. But those principles are what bind us together as a nation. We're going to continue the conversation when we come back. We got to head to a break. 610-539-TALK, the number to call, 610-539-TALK. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
First Thursday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. is Thrifty Thursdays at Homeworks Premium Thrift, and it's the place to be. Please come join us. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used items of all kinds, apparel, household items, books, furniture, and appliances. We offer free pickup for large loads, appliances, and furniture. Have a question about life or need prayer? Ask us. We'll be glad to talk or pray with you. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open until 8 p.m. every first Thursday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org and on Facebook. Looking forward to seeing you.
Well, the scripture is not silent on this issue in any sort of terms, and we know that. We know all the different scriptures. I guess the most famous one is Leviticus. I've talked about it on the show before, what that really means. And, it means what the plain language says. I mean, it is something that is detestable to the Lord. It's just, it's true. That's how the Lord views homosexuality, and that is the truth there. There are other scriptures as well as far as what the scripture says about homosexuality. And we're going to talk about a few things this morning. You can call in at this number, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We've got Greece, apparently, with their default. And Alexis, I don't even know how to say his name.
Tsipras.
That sounds Greek, right? He is actually, and this is just coming in on The Guardian, Homeworkspremium.com that he is conceding to creditors in order to relieve the debt crisis in Greece. So we're going to bring you the latest on that as it develops as well. But we've been talking about this article that's been circulating a lot on social media now because of the Supreme Court ruling. It is an older article. It's about a year old. This is from thelibertarianrepublic.com. Millionaire gay couple is suing to force a church to hold their wedding. Now, this also happened in the UK. That's worthy to note as well. Now, the situation is the same, and the reason it's circulating is obvious because of the Supreme Court's ruling on gay marriage, and people are afraid that this is exactly what's going to happen in
churches. It is going to happen.
And it is going to happen in
churches. I mean, like, they have left the door wide open. Even Justice Clarence Thomas even talks about that in his dissenting opinion, that they have left the door wide open. But what they intend to do is, just like they just made this particular law up out of the Constitution, I mean, one of the things we have to recognize is that it is not for the justices, for judges, to make laws. Their role is simply to,
interpret.
Thank you. To interpret the law. They don't make laws. They interpret the laws. And the way that they found, the way that the majority found a way in the Constitution to say that the Constitution upholds same-sex marriage is that they took the 14th Amendment and they said inherent in the 14th Amendment is dignity. And the 14th Amendment simply states that no state or local government is to deprive a person of life, liberty, and property. And then the 14th Amendment originated out of the Reconstruction era after the Civil War. And it was talk about intent. The intent of the 14th Amendment was to make sure that no local or state government prohibited former slaves from life, liberty, freedoms that were won, and property, right? And so talk about intent. So that's the original intent of the 14th Amendment. But like with Roe versus Wade, they found a way to use the 14th Amendment to apply to Roe versus Wade, which was another dark moment in our history. And now today they've used the 14th Amendment to say inherent in life, liberty, and property is the word dignity. So they just made it up on the fly.
Well, and it's like any lie. It starts off small, and then it just grows like an infectious disease. If you let it in one area and you don't address it, it will take over everything. And it's this whole postmodern idea that we can make whatever we want into anything that we want. Because with Obamacare, for example, and same thing happens with the gay marriage ruling here, too, the justices knew the intent of the law when you're talking about states having the right to set up an exchange. That was in the this law was passed only 3 or so years ago. The legislators put that in. And just to show you how much of a disregard the Supreme Court has for law right now, the legislators made this only 3 or 4 years ago. You have direct access to them to know their intent of the wording. The wording regarding the states was put in there to allow the states to set up their own exchanges and to be able not to do so if they did not want to participate. That was to add an element of states' rights. And the Supreme Court, knowing that, went against that. And the same thing holds here in gay marriage. You have states that banned gay marriage. That language can't get any clearer. And now you have the Supreme Court, which is ruling, quite frankly, against that and violating the state's sovereignty. And now, of course, what you have are states like Texas and Alabama struggling with, should we even uphold this? Because it comes from the federal government, and this goes against what our people
legislation
want.
Without representation. We can't just walk into the doors of the Supreme Court and have access to them. And so that's another big issue. But but again, they just made this up on the fly. They incorporated a word, quote unquote, dignity into the 14th Amendment that is not in there. And so they just made that up and they just left the door open for interpretation. So what we're going to see is now people are going to now start suing to force churches and other Christian nonprofit organizations to serve them. And when they don't, then they would take it to the court for interpretation once again. And once again, because we are no longer a land of laws that judges are here to interpret, but now we have become a land of personal opinions and choices and the desire to just remake history or to remake our society, they're going to once again, I mean, so we cannot hold our breath on the fact that we have a document that says we have freedom of religion. We can no longer just assume that our legislators, when they get into office, is going to adhere to what we have been founded on.
So I want to look at this article, the millionaire gay couple suing a church to hold their wedding, which I'm sure the suit is probably still going on. But this was in the United Kingdom. This was a year ago. And we could look at this as a case study for our own nation. Here's a quote from the couple in the UK. "We've launched a challenge to the government's decision to allow some religious groups to opt out of marrying same-sex couples." That's why they put in the lawsuit. And understand that law, because our law is not made by our legislators anymore. It's made by courts. And if anyone feels that they want to change the law, they could just go to a justice who may have a different opinion. And all of a sudden, they change everything. And how shameful is it, okay, that Christ also calls on us to resolve our matters as Christians now within the church? So they're not only violating, which they're living an open lifestyle of rebellion, which is not scriptural. Okay, so I would say that how can they be followers of Christ if they're living an open lifestyle of homosexuality, which is sin? And they say it's a shame that we're forced to take Christians into a court. Forget the fact that Christ even tells us that we should try to resolve our matters on our own before we sue each other, essentially. But the fact that they are they're living in open rebellion and they're trying to impose their will on the church. Quite frankly, they're trying to impose their will on God. I want to go into the scripture of the day because there's got to be some hope in this. This is Revelation 5, okay? And in all honesty, it could be the whole chapter, okay? But this is right before, and Kathy, you brought this to my attention, and this is right before the scrolls are opened, the trumpets are sounded.
It is
before
all hail literally breaks out.
Judgment comes on the earth. Exactly.
Yes. I mean, it's literally right before, because I was driving and I was just asking God, what is our response? And this is what God laid on my heart. Right before all hail literally breaks out on the earth, what do we see the response of those who are closest to Christ? And it is one of jubilee and praise and glorying him, calling him worthy of the Lamb, giving him honor, glory, power, just praising him. And that should be our response, not because hail is literally breaking out, but because we have an eternal perspective, recognizing that not only is God allowing these things to happen, he is ushering these things in. Because why? He's ultimately drawing all things back to him, and they must happen.
Revelation 5:12, in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." That's a scripture of the day today. We'll be back right after this.
Working for liberty right here in Philadelphia, broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations, 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama will need to nominate an ambassador to Cuba, the first since 1960.
He's expected to announce a U.S. embassy will open in Havana as Cuba sets up its own embassy in Washington. Some critics say Cuba and its Castro leadership should remain outcasts, like Republican Senator Marco Rubio. He charges the island nation is still a state sponsor of terrorism.
Fox News Radio's Jill Nato. The president's scheduled to speak at 11 Eastern. State and federal investigators at a black church that's burned in Greeleyville, South Carolina.
They're trying to find out if the fire at the Mount Zion African Methodist Episcopal Church was caused by arson or if lightning sparked it. In 1995, the church was burned down by the Ku Klux Klan, and federal authorities are investigating several recent fires at black churches.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez, Fox News. We report. You decide.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999 on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Welcome back to the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And there's a ton to talk about here. We are talking, of course, about none other than the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. We've got a lot to talk about regarding that, though. Kathy Barnett joining us. It is Wednesday, and we're glad to have her with us. Kathy, how you doing?
I am doing good, and it's always exciting. You know, there's so much, like you said, going on all around us, and so many things to discourage us when you're thinking about the Supreme Court's decision. But our hope is in Christ.
Absolutely.
And that gives me hope.
Revelation 5, we were just reading that as our scripture of the day before, that right before judgment was coming down on the world, before the scrolls would be opened, and each scroll symbolic of a different judgment in heaven, and a trumpet would sound, which were other judgments against earth, that there was praise from heaven. And it's a famous scripture, in fact. It's even in Revelation Song, which is a popular Christian worship song. It reads, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And this is all out of Revelation 5, different excerpts from Revelation 5. And it paints a powerful picture for us as Christians to be even though we have these horrible things happening, and it grieves us, and it's okay for it to grieve your heart. It's okay to make you angry. I think that's another thing as well. Our nation is so uncomfortable when people get angry about things. There's such a backlash against expression of any kind of anger or any kind of disagreement. Yet at the same time, I think it's funny to note that on social media, people usually rip each other's heads off. And on the internet seems to provide the catalyst for everyone to just let their emotions fly and not be accountable for anything. But we are so uncomfortable with disagreeing with people and with conflict today in our nation that we avoid it at all costs. And as Christians, remember that Jesus expressed his anger. He was angry when the money changers were in the temple. He was angry. He called it a den of thieves. And he overturned. He wasn't just angry at the religious hypocrites. He was angry at the sin in his day, too. He had two towns that rejected him. And he said, "Woe to you, it's going to be better for you or for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you on the day of judgment." Yeah. Jesus got angry. Those are all emotions. So it's okay to feel angry at this. It's okay to feel righteous indignation at this ruling and this lawlessness, because it's going against all the laws that are now. Is popular opinion swaying in this nation towards gay marriage? Absolutely it is. But in individual states where this has been forced upon, like in Texas, that isn't the case. There are many portions of the country that still do not support gay marriage, and it has been forced upon them. So even though this is going against our laws and our Constitution, it's okay to feel angry. We don't always just have to say, well,
we need to love, and we need to just get along.
What I hate about that is it's true. We do need to love, but love doesn't mean I need to be feminine in how I do that. Love doesn't mean I can't get angry or argue or sit there and try to wake someone
because
up.
Because what's loving about what's going on right now? I mean, as soon as the ruling came out, our president had our White House lit up in the rainbow color. There's nothing loving about that, right? Because he won't even put a nativity scene.
No, as Christians,
in front of our White House. But he put a rainbow lighting all throughout our White House. As soon as the ruling went through, we had the New York Gay Pride Parade. And you see little kids out there. You see the little kid, you know, there are videos of little kids gyrating and dancing with these basically nude men. There's nothing loving. There's nothing kind. There's nothing righteous about that. That's foolishness. And for us to sit back and say, well, oh, I'm just going to love you, you know, that's foolishness. You need to be able to stand and speak truth. God did not leave. If you're breathing right now and you're a Christian, you're not. You're here for a greater purpose than just clocking in and clocking out at work and going home and cooking a square meal and then going into your little church bubbles and sitting on your little comfortable church pews and being all enveloped in your little church programs. We're here for a greater call. And so, I expect the world to do what the world is doing. I have great compassion on the world, and my heart goes out when I'm talking to those who identify with the gay lifestyle, or those who are trapped in adultery, or those who are foreign, whatever their case may be. What I have very little tolerance for are mealy-mouthed Christians who are sitting up here saying, well, we're just going to love you, and we're just going to go into our little bubble, stick our head back in the sand, as if this is not impacting us. I mean, if there was ever a time for Christians to wake up, like the Word of God says in Romans chapter 13, wake up from your slumber.
And we
wake
have
up.
To. We have to. And this is something I believe that Jesus is calling us to. This is something that, as a nation, Christians are being called to. And maybe this is going to be the thing that finally wakes up the church.
And we're
going to
be judged. Let me just put that out there. Even as believers, okay, we're judged. We're going to be judged. We're going to stand before what is known as the Bema Seat of Christ. Now, we're not going to be judged based on heaven and hell, because if you are a believer in Christ, that has been solidified and we cannot earn our salvation. But if you still have life in your body, you are called to do something greater than you yourself and your immediate surrounding. You are called to be a light. And when we stand before Christ, Christians are going to be judged, and there are going to be rewards. And the Word of God says there are some of us who are going to make it in by the skin on our teeth, as one barely escaping the flame. You barely made it in. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that person. I'm not going to be that person by the grace of God. And you don't want to be that person. So begin to ask God, open up your eyes, my fellow brothers and sisters. What is it that he has called you to do in this time? I mean, you know, I think about it often. I could have been born 2,000 years ago. I could have been born 20 years from now. But God decided that at this exact moment, I would be right here. There's a purpose. I was telling my son yesterday, who's 9 years old, start looking around and asking God, why am I here? What is my purpose? What do you want me to do? Become intentional about that.
No, and if we don't become, if we do not become awoken as a church, then it's going to take something worse. And a lot of people think that this is already pretty bad.
No,
but we
gonna get worse.
Well, and but that's where we do need to be looking to Christ, because the answer to this, again, I'm not sitting there saying that the answer to this is just merely to vote different people in office who are going to fight against homosexual marriage and who are going to fight against all the different things and gripes we may have in politics. I'm not saying that. The answer is in Christ. For each and every one of us, it goes deeper than just a politician or a leader. This goes to each individual in this nation. The answer is turning, a collective turning to Christ. Repentance. And I do think that also, while we have compassion for the world, this nation has had more exposure to the gospel, yeah, I think, than any other nation in history.
Yeah.
We've sent out more missionaries. Our founding was so entrenched in Christianity, and we are rejecting it. Now that's scary.
And if you keep your mouth shut on this issue, whether on social media or at the grocery store or in your child's school or wherever you wherever your sphere of influence is, then you too are rejecting. You too are crucifying Christ afresh. I mean, we are called not just to let our little light shine, but no one ever hears a peep out of you.
And that doesn't mean that we have to sit there and yell and scream. But what it does mean, and there, sometimes, you know what, there is a time to get angry. But and that's where the Holy Spirit leads us. And like you said, Kathy, so wisely there, your sphere of influence. We all have different spheres of influence.
Yes.
Some of us are called to be on Capitol Hill. Some of us are called to just influence our families. Maybe we have sons or daughters who are struggling with these ideas of, well, is this something that's okay? Should I just be all right with it? And we're called to be an influence in our families in that way. There are different spheres of influence we have, and the Holy Spirit leads in all of that. And there's a right way to do it. But we need to make sure that we are not afraid to stand up. Because I think that's what most Christians are right now, is that they are afraid.
And for good reasons. These people aren't playing with you. As I say in my house, they ain't playing. And they have shown us who they are. We need to believe them, that they are who they say that they are.
Right. And we don't have to be. And when I say not to be afraid, that doesn't mean we need to. Oh, yeah, yeah. But for the listener, you know, that doesn't mean that we have to stand up and that we have to fight like this is a war against our. That,
because we have to be strategic. We have to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove.
And this is not a war against flesh and blood.
No, this is
a war against spiritual powers, principalities. That's, I'm quoting a scripture there in the New Testament, okay? Well, Paul is talking about what we really are battling against. This is a spiritual battle. And we have to remember that the people that are all going along with this, there's a deception that's working here. Satan is deceiving them. It's a lie that they're believing in. And that we can get angry, and that's good. And then we need to make sure that we're fighting in the right way.
And now let me just add it.
Not out of fear.
Yeah. And then let me just add in here. Michael and I are challenging you. We are all up in your face right now. I know you have something to say. So call us at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK and talk back to us right now.
Yeah, we want to hear your opinion. Again, 610-539-TALK. Let your voice be heard this morning. We will take your calls. We are going to keep on having the discussion. We are going to touch on Greece as well, because there's some developing news on the debt crisis in Europe. Stay around.
Hi, Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. There's no easier way to share your faith than by giving someone a free gift, the Word of God in a compact, pocket-sized gospel.
I'm going back to nursing school in the fall, and I'm almost out of gospels. I've gotten out of the habit of giving them out. Time to get back to sowing God's seed. Thanks so much for what you do.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us, and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I'll be giving the Gospels to dock workers who load and unload my truck, as well as to other drivers and truck stop employees, too.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the Gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
When a nation embraces evil and rejects good, when evildoers are commended while Christians are maligned, it's time to understand the reason. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1 that people once knowing the truth of God, experiencing the blessing of God, and who through science and technology uncover the mysteries of creation but then reject the truth and refuse to give God the glory, God will wipe his hands of these people and remove his mercy from them. He will give them up to general sexual perversion, then to deviant sexual attractions, including homosexuality, then to a reprobate mind, so that they not only can do all the evil they want, but also experience all the dire consequences of their sin. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, saying that rejecting God and His truth is fatal. For me, I prefer to glorify God, thank Him for all He's done, and be blessed by Him. How about you?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Now, just to remind you of a prior story that broke about a year ago, this is not the millionaire gay couple who is suing a church in the United Kingdom about a year ago for not allowing them to marry. This isn't this story. This is another story right here in our own shores in Idaho. If you remember this one, this was in the news briefly. It has to do with a little place called the Hitching Post. And lawyers with the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a Christian rights and legal advocacy organization, filed a suit in October on behalf of the Hitching Post, which the owners are Don and Evelyn Knapp. The Hitching Post was basically a place where you could have a short, private, intimate marriage, but was based on biblical values, and that's the important thing. Now, the lawsuit claims that the Knapps were being forced to violate their religious beliefs and perform same-sex marriages because of the city's anti-discrimination ordinance. Now, this is Coeur d'Alene. I don't think I'm saying that right. It's a French town. It's in Idaho. But this was in the headlines about a year ago. And this is very brief. Now, again, this is something that's happened in our own shores in Idaho. Now, the city threatened the Hitching Post with lawsuits because they were not going to marry homosexuals. And they actually closed down their shop because of those threats. I'm looking at an article at cdapress.com. cdapress.com. And now the lawsuit is based on the Hitching Post seeking to be compensated for the days that they were closed and the loss of revenue because of threats from the city that they were not abiding by this ordinance, which says it, you are not to deny any services because of gender or sexual orientation. So this happened a year ago. Just to remind you of, is this going to happen in churches? It already has. Now, is this a formal church? No, it's more of a chapel if you want to get married. Although, and this is the crucial thing here, it is still biblically based. It's still the
but
idea of they're not going to marry
freedom
homosexuals.
Freedom of religion.
It falls under freedom of religion, exactly. And they are a nonprofit organization. That is worthy to note as well, because that's the what the city now is claiming in the lawsuit, that it is a distinction between profit and nonprofit organizations, although when they are threatening to close the Hitching Post, that seemed to not really matter. So they are a nonprofit organization. Churches are nonprofit organizations. This has already happened in our nation as far as lawsuits being brought for ministers not marrying homosexuals. This is coming. It has already come. So just remember that when we talk about this. And that is just developing, by the way, as far as that lawsuit. Look, that article that I just read was April 2nd, 2015. Basically, where they're at now is in the midst of the fight, which the defendants, or the plaintiffs, I'm sorry, they're not giving up. They're not giving up on the fight because of what the city did. So this is something that's already occurring.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to know. Shifting now, we're gonna look at Greece. They're the biggest thing happening in the news right now, and the reason because there's a lot of big changes happening. And as well, I just have a short clip to kind of give you the latest that is happening in Greece.
Greece becoming the first developed country to miss a repayment to the International Monetary Fund after failing to secure a new bailout deal with its European partners. But the Greek Prime Minister did come back with a last-ditch proposal yesterday, and European ministers will talk again in the next few hours. In the meantime, there are restrictions at banks. People can only withdraw $65 a day. And a referendum is set for Sunday on whether to accept more austerity measures in return for fresh European cash. In London, Simon Owen, Fox News Radio.
Now, what do you think of this referendum? I think I know exactly how it's going to turn out. They're not going to want the austerity measures. That's what's happened time and time again.
Of course they don't want the austerity measures, but it's kind of like a kid that doesn't want to take medicine that you know is necessary for it. You're going to have to do it. But what's really interesting, you know, to see the minister, the prime minister of Greece, acquiesce and
backpedal.
Start backpedaling. I mean, it is really, I know, I try to find a nice word for it. It is really interesting because for the past year, he has just been the face of tenacity. We are not accepting any austerity program. You're going to give us your money and we're not going to do anything to modify our spending, to modify our lifestyle or any of that. And it's really hard. I mean, so I don't want to be on what the Greece people are having to contend with, because it is really serious. I mean, they have sold off the majority, if not almost all, of the valuables of their country. Greece no longer owns Greece. It's been broken up and sold off to the highest bidder across the world. And it's really, really hard. And it's a real shift. But nonetheless, it is something that is coming to every door near you real soon. We can look at what's happening in Greece and Cyprus and use it kind of as a model of what is coming to America. We are heading towards a real economic reset.
We keep on going into more debt, and eventually when we're not, I mean, the government is, and this is where I think people misunderstand what government debt really is. Government debt is the same, just like debt that I may have or that you may have. They have to make payments to creditors. And if we miss those payments, if we don't have money, which, by the way, The government is losing money day in and day out. And just to clarify, that's the same as if I were losing money in my budget or you were losing money. I have bills to pay. I have to make money in order to pay my bills. The government isn't making money right now. That's because of a number of different reasons. That's what all the debates are about. Should we cut welfare? Should we raise taxes? And that's where we have divides of the lines there. But the bottom line is that they have payments that they have to make. And if they don't make those payments to their creditors, they can default on their payments. But then the dollar becomes worthless. And that's where we see what's happening in Greece, where their drachma has become worthless. That's their currency. And they're trying to they're trying to get help from the EU. They're trying to get euros. They're trying to solidify themselves with the European Union. And until they can do that, till they get a new currency, till they are a part of something that's bigger than themselves, and because they have to pay their creditors, they are. So here's the latest: good old Alexis there, who is the I guess the prime minister of Greece, he is making concessions to get this new deal, which he said he's backpedaling on this. Looking at the latest from theguardian.com. He is going to appear on TV, but Angela Merkel, is saying that no negotiations are going to happen before the referendum.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to play both sides. He's trying to have a referendum and be the politician and sit there and say, we're going to have a choice. But at the end of the day, the biblical principle still stands. You're a slave to whom you're indebted.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of like what you and I were talking about earlier, is that, you know, people are like, okay, well, you know, well, that's just the Bible and we don't need to listen to the Bible. But listen, the rules apply whether you're a Christian or not. It just tends to work better in your favor if you're a Christian. But whether you're a Christian or not, the rules of God are set in nature, and it applies to all things under the sun, whether you believe it or not. And yes, they have become a debtor to none other than Greece. I mean, I'm sorry, Germany, of all people.
Well, in Germany, they have probably been they're probably one of the strongest parts of the EU.
They are
economically, so they're going to them naturally for help. And their manufacturing shrinks again. By the way, so Greece really doesn't have a whole lot to show for it. And you sit there and go, well, the Bible is not relevant or something like that. Think again. Look at it. Truth is truth whether you want it to be or not. It just is. It simply is. God simply is. We got to go to a break. We're going to come back right after this. We've got an interview coming up for you in the program on It's a New Day. 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation, and one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL, King of Prussia, Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. President Obama wasn't alive the last time the U.S. had an embassy in Havana open. That's going to change as he keeps reestablishing cut ties with Cuba.
More than 50 years have gone by since the U.S. and Cuba had embassies in each other's countries. Now the president's expected to talk Wednesday about the impact of opening a U.S. embassy in Havana and a Cuban embassy in Washington, D.C. Some critics, like Republican Senator Marco Rubio, say it's a terrible idea
That's Fox News Radio's Jill Nato. Greece still trying to work out a European bailout the morning after missing a debt payment.
I'm really pessimistic about how the banks are going to operate from now on.
You know, the Greeks are facing strict ATM withdrawal limits. Seniors who live on pensions were able to get cash out of banks today. More of Hillary Clinton's emails are public from when the Democratic presidential frontrunner was Secretary of State. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland, live in Washington.
This latest batch of emails raises new questions about Sidney Blumenthal, a longtime Clinton friend and advisor. Previous emails have shown he sent Clinton sensitive information about Benghazi after the 2012 terror attacks. These newly released messages show he was emailing the former Secretary of State guidance on diplomatic matters much earlier than previously thought. There was advice on dealing with the German chancellor in 2009 and also tips on policy in Afghanistan. Clinton has said any advice she received from Blumenthal was unsolicited. Dave.
Rachel, the morning after a black church fire in Greeleyville, South Carolina, investigators will be on the scene.
We do know there was lightning in the area last night.
Destiny Chance with Fox 57 TV.
The church was burned to the ground by two former members of the KKK. Now, the church was rebuilt and rededicated a year later.
President Clinton attended the rededication. Six other churches have burned in the 2 weeks since a massacre in a black Charleston church blamed on an alleged white racist. Indonesia's Air Force chief is vowing to investigate that deadly crash of a military transport plane that killed more than 140 people that went down in a busy neighborhood in the city of Medan. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
And now another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. A woman told us she was fed up with constantly playing on the course right behind the same slow group. So she went to Golfsmith and picked up high-velocity Callaway XR woods. The way she sees it, if she can't make them play faster, a few balls whizzing by at 100 miles an hour might. Hurry into Golfsmith today to get the best of the season and save enough on the Callaway XR Woods to play another round. Only at Golfsmith. Anything for golf.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Days after a Supreme Court ruling legalized gay marriage across America, a probate judge in Alabama says he will not give licenses to gay couples in Pike County. And Wes Allen says he's not violating the law since he's also not going to issue licenses to men and women who want to get married. He cites Alabama law saying that marriage licenses may be issued by probate judges, not that they must issue them. Now, the Episcopal Church is considering changes. Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers has more on this live.
Church leaders are set to vote today on an across-the-board policy regarding gay marriage ceremonies. As it stands now, each bishop decides whether his or her priest can conduct the same-sex ceremonies. It's been that way since 2003 when the denomination elected its first openly gay bishop. The proposal would eliminate gender-specific language from church laws on marriage, so religious weddings can also be performed for same-sex couples, Dave.
Tanya, another win and shutout for Team USA on the brink of a World Cup title.
It's back to the championship game of the Women's World Cup. And that score would hold up to the end on Fox Sports. Second-ranked America beating top-ranked Germany last night in Montreal.
But we didn't come here to just make the final. We came here to win it.
Carly Lloyd scored after being awarded a controversial penalty. Kelly O'Hara added that second goal, and goalkeeper Hope Solo anchored America's fifth straight shutout.
Germany is a great opponent and really tested us and pushed us, but obviously we're delighted to be moving on.
Coach Jill Ellis, defending champion Japan, hopes to beat England tonight to set up a rematch with the U.S. in Sunday's final at Vancouver. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
The Education Department will implement new rules for colleges offering career training programs. They have to prove their graduates earn enough money to repay their student loans. On Wall Street, futures are rising, indicating a big jump up at the opening bell, and markets have also been higher in Europe after days of worry about the Greek debt crisis. I'm Dave Anthony.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the Almighty Ruler of the Universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition."